looking at Nehemiah chapter 9 from verse 1 to 6. I want to go back to verse 5 because we didn't really handle verse 5. But we are speaking on the subject confession. So you can make this one confession 2 or part 2. And you find that in the verse, in the chapter 1, in the confession 1 that we looked at, the people of Israel had celebrated the Feast of Tabernacle. And then 3 days after, they come together, they gather. And this gathering was to fast and pray. It was to fast and confess their sins. And we saw in that chapter that the children of Israel separated themselves. And we did say that confession is for children of God. If it is only that person who is not of God that does not confess. But if you are for the child, if you are a child of God, saved by grace through the Lord Jesus Christ, and now you call yourself the Father's son, you or the Father's daughter, you will always commit to confession. Because confession tells us that the Lord is always true and we have always remained unfaithful. And we studied what they did. They came humble before God. And we looked at fasting and the actions that they took in their approach. They came humble. Now we are going to continue and hopefully finish this chapter looking at the content of their prayer. So they did certain things before they came. Now we are coming to look at the content of their prayer. This is something that we can learn from. It really teaches us how to approach God in confession. How many of us, many Christians don't know how to confess? Many Christians don't know how to confess. But the way we confess is very important. The way we confess is important. The way we approach God is important. And when we are praying, and it is very good that some of us, maybe from last week, have realized that, hold on, we need to live a lifestyle of confession and humility to God. But now, how do we do this? We are coming to learn from here in this passage how to confess before God. And so in the verse 5, you find the Israelites appointed some people to lead them in prayer. I'm going to read a little bit there. There are some massive heavyweight names over there. If I mess it up, please don't hold it against me. Then Joshua, Bani, Kadmiel, Shebaniah, Bunai, let me just go ahead and read from where the English is easy for me. And he said, the Levites, and cried out with a loud voice to the Lord, their God. And the Levites, Joshua, Kadmiel, Bani, let's continue. And then it says in the B part of the passage that, stand up. Now these people, they appointed to lead them in prayer. So they were the leaders. These people realized that this is a corporate gathering. And in corporate gathering, we need our leaders first to lead us and lead the prayer. And so they appointed these people, the Levites and some of the community leaders, to come and lead them in prayer. They came humble to confess their sins. You see, it shouldn't surprise us or make us feel like failure if we must be led into confession and repentance. It is important for somebody that knows how to do it to teach you how to do it. There's nothing wrong with it. We are all learning. We are not perfect. And even when you look at Jesus teaching his disciples, and today we also becoming his disciples, in the Bible, in the New Testament, he said, when you pray, say, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Jesus taught how to pray. And these Old Testament believers understood also that since it is a corporate gathering, some of us might not know how to do it. So let us put the right people in place to teach us how to do this. which is also why when you come here in corporate gathering, we have people who lead us into prayer. And we have a prayer ministry here that devotes themselves to relating with God and teaching and learning so that they can also come and lead us how to pray and teach us how to pray. And so please do not get offended when you come to the house of God. In gatherings like this, there has to be a focus. There has to be where we are going. And we say, let us all come together, and you have somebody standing before you to pray and to lead you into prayer. That is not the time to undermine that person. Isn't this that? Obviously, as children of God, we are supposed to leave a high mark of the word of God. But no matter who God puts in front of you to teach you and to lead you into living for God, you need to learn to submit to their leadership. And these children of God are here doing this. So they stood on the stairs of the Levite and cried out with a loud voice. These people took the prayer seriously. They cried out with a loud voice. I have seen, you see, in most cases, when God is really dealing with you, you will not care who stands by your side or where you are, what you do. You will cry for your God. You will seek your God. You will want to do everything to relate with him. And these people, they are crying and they are weeping, showed how desperate they were in seeking God. You see, the prayer that they prayed is the longest prayer recorded in the Bible. But you know, when you devote to reading it, the very good readers only read it within 6 minutes and few seconds. This tells us something. Prayer needs to be devoted to. We must devote to prayer. We must devote to prayer. Many of us don't devote ourselves to prayer. Many of us. And you see, it is not the length to which you pray that matters. It is the quality. These people were crying. They were crying. And so when we come together like this, and you see people praying and crying, don't think, oh, what are they doing? No! These people are seeking God. I am seeking God. It doesn't matter who watches me. My wife knows I can go crazy in the presence of my father. I don't care. With time, you will learn a lot about me. When it comes to my father, forget human beings. I'm not into pleasing people before God. No. I will dive. I will somersault. Look. Feel free in the presence of God. Don't allow the enemy to intimidate you before your father. Don't allow the enemy to stop you from crying. And some of the women, I watch you. You're crying and then you lift your glasses. Because of your makeup, you don't want to cry. The makeup is costing a lot of money, so you use it little by little. So when you come and you have to now wipe it off, you're like, oh no, this thing is going to cost me a lot of money. Let yourself go in God's presence. Let yourself go. Many times, I started my ministry leading prayer. You will stand and you are leading the prayer. You feel the presence of God on you. You feel God moving in the corner. And some people are there like steel magnets. How are you going to be touched? These people are seriously seeking their father. Why have you come to the father? Is it about how somebody looks? You see how I was praising all of us, how we look? Hey, no. I'm wearing suit, so what? So what? God doesn't care about this suit. He gave it to me anyway. The money I spent to buy this suit, he gave it to me. This job I'm standing here doing, it is by his grace I'm standing here. And the pay that I get from doing this, it is all by his grace. And so when I come to the house of God, oh my days, this suit, do you know how many times I go to the dry cleaners? You know, I have decided there are some clothes I don't take to the dry cleaners anymore. I'm spending too much money on dry cleaning. Pray. Be serious about it. It is the quality that matters, not the length. Many of us can spend hours before God and get nothing from him. And some of us, because we know the principles and we apply the principles, you go for 5 minutes, Lord, have mercy on me, and you hear from the Father. I have a testimony that I always say. I went for an interview, and I knew I was messing up. And so, when the man said to me, I am coming, I said to him, can I use the bathroom quickly? He said, yes. And I quickly ran into the toilet and I said, Father, your word says, call on me in time of need and I will answer. In the name of our Lord Jesus, Daddy, grant me favor. When I came back, the man was standing there. Well, didn't you say you're going to wee? I said, yes, I'm back. Sir, this interview matters to me. He said, oh, you know. And he said to me, come back at 2 p.m. for your passport. I called on my father instant. It happened. It is not there. Imagine if I went into the bathroom and I thought, let me spend another 1 hour praying over there. You think the man will be waiting for me for 1 hour? Quality. And you see, the quality comes by consistency as well. We will learn more on prayer, but let's move on. They praised the 5b to 6. He says, stand up and bless the Lord your God forever and ever. Blessed be your glorious name. And then it goes ahead. He says, You have made heaven. After the encouragement to praise, Ezra gave a reason to praise. Because this is the great God who made it all. Looking at the glory of God's creation gives us a reason to praise him, to humble ourselves before him, and to what? Trust him. Look at God. I don't understand why people try to be arrogant before God, why people despise God, why people act rudely and disrespect God, blaspheme God and do all the things we do, why people come to the house of God and try to do all that they do. Think of it. Look how awesome this God is. Look, everything in this world is held in place by his word. If God chooses to withdraw an inch of his word, do you know what will happen to this world? And this should cause us to praise him. This should cause us to magnify him. It doesn't matter your problems that you're going through. You are still alive. David said, the dead cannot praise you, Lord. The dead cannot praise you. So long as I'm alive, I will praise you. You gotta praise God. You gotta praise him. And so you see, one thing in prayer, after you come in humble approach, the next thing is you want to exalt him. You want to lift him up. You want to big him up. Hey, Daddy, God likes bigging up. I'm telling you, anybody that tells you God doesn't want you to praise him and he's a demonic entity talking to you, that person is a liar. When you go to heaven, angels worship God. That is all that they do. And so we need to learn to do this here on this earth. Because when I get to heaven, I'm going to do the greater one. I'm going to do the greater one. So you got to learn how to do it here. Praise him. Praise him. The bills that you can't pay for, spread them on the ground and dance on them. I am a winner. I am a winner. Oh, the devil knows that I am a winner. Dance. Dress up. Look, don't look timid. Dress up. Don't say, oh, if I dress up, people will know that they will not have mercy on me. Excuse me. Is it your God that you're dressing for people? Look good. Talk good. I'm not saying brag. But talk worthy of what God is doing in your life. Every little God is doing for you, give him praise for. Big him up. Big him up. You can stand in your room and say, oh, my back is really painful today. But no matter what, I will praise you. I will praise you. Lord, I'm not all together. But so long as I have my voice, you are God. Big him up. Big him up. I used to work at, I always say it, it's like B&Q. B&Q is like Home Depot in UK. And when I'm working myself, come and see me dancing and stocking stuff. People walk past me, they're like, man, you on a different level. I'm like, yes, man. It's all about Jesus. I'm crazy. Holy Ghost crazy. You need to praise God. You need to worship him. I used to walk into the office, when I walk into the workplace, and when I get down from the bus, Lord, I bless you. And I'm working, I'm talking plenty, speaking in tongues and doing all sorts of things. And then I will walk into the building with it. People see me, they're like, hey, Christ is here. Then people start shouting in the workplace, man, today we're going to have fun. We're going to, do you see the energy I've entered into the place with? And I tell you, the way I used to relate with people, we had customers who would come and say, where is Kwesi? I want him to serve me today. Do people run from you when you are coming? Do people get excited? Do people praise God because you are around? Children of God, praise him. And when I tell you to praise him, I'm not misleading you. It is a thing of Christians to encourage one another to praise our Father. To praise our Father. I tell you, I cannot solve your problem for you. Jesus can solve it for you. And so it is my ultimate desire. What I can do, I will do it well for you. And that is encouraging you to pray. That is encouraging you to praise him. Encouraging you not to look at your problems, but look at what Jesus has done already. Focus on that. Focus on that. Don't worry yourself about your mother who is not here. Your mother cannot do anything for you. But you are here today. Today, we live for today. When people were busy asking Jesus about other things to do, they were anxious. Jesus said, do not be anxious about anything. For tomorrow will take care of itself. Maybe you are here. You don't know what you are going home to eat. The fridge is dry. I know how it feels. I'm a human being. When I was at Spurgeon's College, let me tell you my testimony. This young boy, I was an international student, paying a lot of money. My job that I was doing was part-time. And I was studying full-time. I was doing night job full-time. And I didn't have enough money. All my money was going into my fees. So there was one afternoon that week, I didn't have anything. And a young boy in London, I went to work. When I was coming home, I knew I didn't have anything to come and eat. I didn't have anything. No money in my account. And I was saying, Lord, I will pray and fast the morning I decided today is fasting. It's not because I wanted to, but the circumstances had caused me to declare a fast. And when I got to work and I worked and I was coming home, I was just praising my God. Lord, you will make a way. 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 And I got to work. And we all have our pigeonholes, all the students. And so Spurgeon's College, I got to my pigeonhole to go and pick up my letters. Some, that's how the lecturers used to communicate with us, through letters and stuff like that. I got to my pigeonhole, I put my hand in it, there was an envelope. I opened the envelope, 100 British pounds. Hi! That day, hey! 100 British pounds. Do you know how long that pounds took me? It took me months. I spent it little by little. Oh, Lord Jesus. Look, let's laugh about this because today it is a testimony. God will give you your testimony. Praise him! Praise him! Hey! You serve this great God. Praise him! No matter what, praise God. I don't have all the answers, but I know God is a supreme God. And I worship him regardless. Have that attitude towards him. Have that attitude. Have that attitude. And then the 9 to 15, I've subtitled it, praise to the God who delivered Israel from Egypt and provided for them in the wilderness. Please spend some more time when you go home to study these passages. But I just want to touch on a few things from there. You saw the affliction of our fathers in Egypt. We all know the story of what God took them through from the hands of the Egyptians. And these people were not ignorant. They did not come to God pretending they have it all. They remembered the good that God had done for them. You see, one reason we confess is to remind God that we actually appreciate who he is and the things that he does for us. We appreciate you, Lord. There is a song that says, "Precious memory, we appreciate you, Lord. Finally, we come this far to say thank you." Thank him. Thank him. Precious memories. Precious memories. You see how we are seated here? Other people don't have it. Even churches. Some churches don't have what we are enjoying here. I remember how some of my friends in London, pastor friends in London, they have a whole van of instruments and they drive it around. They go to different schools. Set up. They spend about 3 hours setting up. And then when the service is finished, another 3 hours packing up again. But we can just walk in here. We have AC. We have fans. We have lights. We are talking about changing fans that God, lights that God has provided. We say it's too old. Others don't have it. We appreciate you, Lord. Finally, we've come this far to say thank you. Thank him. Remember those things. And they remembered what their forefathers went through and what God did for them. And so the 16 to 17, the sinful response of man to God's goodness. Now, I want to take my time to read this passage to you. It says, "But they, after they have said everything God did for them," the but is an opposition to what God did. Opposite. Look at what, after God blessed them, brought them out of the desert and all that. They say all that in the previous verses. And then the verse 16, they say, "But they, our forefathers, acted proudly, hardened their necks, and did not heed your commands. They refused to obey, and they were not mindful of your wonders that you did among them. But they hardened their necks, and in their rebellion, they appointed a leader to return to their bondage." You see what human beings can do? Look at all this goodness that God is to us, but we are still not showing our gratefulness. Some of us are acting, you know, we are no different from what these Israelites did. Some of us are stubborn-necked. Some of us are proud people. Some of us are arrogant people. Some of us are not humble. We will see all these things in here. But they and our fathers, they remember. You remember last week we talked about how the way the lineage that you came from can affect you and make you to act a certain way and be living your life in a certain way that causes you to sin before God. But these ones had decided that, you know what, our forefather did this. We confess of that, we acknowledge that, and we are really pointing out the mistakes that they made. Stubbornness. Hardened their necks, refused to obey. We're not mindful. This is a third sure sign of revival. Recognition of our own sinfulness. When we humbly seek God and see his goodness, we cannot help but next to notify our own sinfulness. The blackness of our sin standing out against the brightness of God's purity and goodness. God is always showing us love and kindness, and we always pay him back with evil. Children of God, let's decide not to be these ungrateful children of God. Jesus loves us. God has loved us so much. The word of God says, he loved the world so much, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have an eternal life. God has shown us mercy through Jesus. Jesus has paid the price to give us this connection with the Father. Let us continue. Let us hold on to it. Cherish it dearly. Cherish it. Cherish it. Don't be ungrateful. If you have everybody around you being ungrateful, if I am being ungrateful, you don't change. Be grateful. Be grateful in everything you do, in your thinking, in your actions, in the places you go, in the people you keep around you, everything you do, remain grateful to our Father. And the 17 to 21, God's gracious reply to rebellious Israel. God was a gracious God. After all that Israel was doing, God still was gracious. But you are God, ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abundant in kindness, and did not forsake them. After all that they did, after all the rebelliousness, you might be sitting here being a rebellious child of God. But God, I want to remind you that but God is still merciful. God is still merciful. I have an old friend. I was still at Spurgeon's. I was in my room, middle of the night. I was getting ready to pray. Around 12:30, I was just about getting ready to pray in the night. And this girl called me, PK. All my friends those days called me PK. Pa Kwesi. That's my local traditional Ghanaian name. Pa Kwesi. And she said, PK, you know what? I have brought a boy here. And the boy, I mean, we were doing silly things. And now I want him to leave. He won't leave. And I said, oh, my friend. I don't want to mention her name. And I talked to her on the phone and I said, where is the guy? She said, the guy is in the bathroom. And I told her, you know you have sinned before God. Pray and ask God for forgiveness. And I led there into a repentance. And when we finished, I said to her, now pray and tell God to help you get rid of this guy from your house. While I was praying with her on the phone, the Lord opened my spiritual eye. This is a girl who I just seen, slept with the guy. They have been smoking pot and everything. This is a girl who was sinning. And I was praying with the girl on the phone and the Lord opened my spiritual eye. I saw an angel standing right by her side with a sword ready to draw. And the Spirit of the Lord said to me, say to her, she can overcome the power of the enemy that is in her house. Do you know why I'm telling you this? In the midst of your sin, there is mercy. So no matter sin, whatever sin you are living in, God is repenting you today. He's making a way by the blood of our Lord Jesus. You can become a different person. I'm not saying it is okay to remain in your sin. Jesus came to die to save us from the power of sin. Remember grace. For where sin abounds, grace much aboundeth. And this is what is happening here. These people were ungrateful, but God continued to shower love. We serve a loving God. Me and you, we serve a loving God. Remember that. God loves me. God loves me. Because of the love the Lord Jesus has for me, certain thoughts doesn't even come to my mind. The devil knows he can't come and tell me commit suicide. He knows he can't come and tell me I am hated. No. Hey, when you look at me, the way you see me, you think I'm what? I know who I am as a child of God. Don't mess around, devil. No matter what goes on around me, I stand firm. I know that my Lord is with me. He says that he will never leave you nor forsake you. When difficult comes, stand on your ground and pray. Pray. If the devil can go 40 days, be determined to do 50 days. Get aggressive. These people had realized, you know what? They were still under Persian control. They had built a wall, but they were still not free. Some of us have accepted Jesus Christ, but we are still not free. So don't be comfortable, children of God. Pray! They saw the need to be delivered from the hands of the Persian entity. And they came to their father. We have these walls, but it's not enough. We've had a party. We have celebrated, but it's not enough. Lord, save us. What are you battling that you don't want to do the work for? But you want your freedom. Jesus has come to die. He has made the way. You have access to the throne room. One morning I was praying. It wasn't like I was spending hours in prayer. I just knelt on my feet. And the heavens opens. I saw myself in the throne room of God. God loves you. He loves me. Don't take it for granted. You have access to the Father. You serve a supreme Father. Don't give yourself to the enemy to throw you left, right, and center. It's enough. You gotta say that to him. Devil, it's enough. Get up. Confess your sins. Confess your sins. Confess your sins and be ready to be right with the Father. It's not going to be easy, but he will see you through. He will see you through. He will see you through. I pray that the children of God in this house, they will know how to depend on their Lord. I pray you will not become timid Christians. You sustain them in the wilderness. God will sustain you in whatever you're going through. If he did it for the Israelites, then he will do it for you now. He says that I am the same. He says, I do not change. I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so you see, the danger here is this. The bad doctrines going around telling you that today you can live your life anyhow because we live in a different world today and God is merciful. It's a lie. God says it has not changed. So don't get it twisted. But remember that the same God that did awesome things in other people's life will do awesome things in your life. Awesome God, how great you are. We are worthy of your many miracles. Oh Lord. You are worthy of your many miracles. Awesome God, how great you are. You are worthy of your many miracles. So remember these things. The songs that you sing, let them minister to you. And rise. Rise in the midnight hour. Rise early in the morning. You know, there are times I pray through the night. And then early in the morning, I just lie down a bit. And then I wake up and I want to pray again. The Holy Ghost does not rest because he knows what is coming my way. I have a friend who spent a whole night praying. He had prayed throughout the night. He started from 8 p.m. and he prayed till 5 a.m. And so he was sitting down tired in the prayer room. And an angel came to touch him and said, no, get up and pray. It is not enough for what is coming your way. You need to pray more. We are here so comfortable. This is a guy in UK. It wasn't long. His wife told him, I'm leaving you. He went to pick up his sons, his children, and another guy is with his wife. This is the girl I loved. You think it's easy? You gotta pray. Elijah thought it was over. He was ready. And God brought him spiritual food. He brought him food. He ate a bit. He was lying down again. And the angel told him, no, you need to eat more. That food that he ate was able to take him for 40 days without food. What kind of food are you eating? Ministry leaders here, I know your ministry is challenging. I understand. As a pastor, I've worked with so many people. It is difficult to deal with people. When you get tired, pray. You are a boss at your workplace. Things are tough. You feel overwhelmed. Spend time in prayer. Take some day off. tell your people, I'm not coming today. And lock yourself up, go into the word of God and call on your Savior. Call on the Lord that loves you. Pray. These children of Israel remembered the kind of God they serve. And so when you look at 22 to 31, the cry of Israel's relationship with God. That passage is long, so I won't go into everything over there. I won't go into everything, but I just want to touch on a few things. So they ate and were filled and grew fat and delighted themselves in your great goodness. They are still talking of their forefathers. The cycle began with God showing his goodness to his people. They said, you gave them kingdoms and nations, and with God's people being blessed. You see how God is? He, from the beginning, has always been good to us. And these people remembered that. Nevertheless, they were disobedient and rebelled against you. Then in the time of comfort, you see, it is easy when you're going through a difficult time to pray and to fast and all that. When everything goes okay, you go back to your normal life. You start dabbling in the things you were doing before. Be careful. The enemy has time for you, I'm telling you. The devil has nowhere to go. And he knows he's on a timeline. At the right time, he's going to be judged. And he has time for you when you are dabbling. He'll be calculating you. And he will hit you with one thing. Boom! So remain faithful with the Father. Remain faithful. God loves us regardless. When you are feeling comfortable, the word of God says that he that thinketh he stands, let him watch out, lest he falls. When you think you have everything under control. This happened to me one time. One of the past pastors that I worked with, I was given a responsibility. And in the midst of leaders training, I made a mistake and I said, oh, pastor, I got this. I got this. And so I thought that I knew better. I was going to put everything in place. When the time came, all the people I trusted gave up on me. The whole thing landed on me, the way I suffered. Then when we finished, the man of God caught me and sat me down and he said, never think you've got it. Never think you've got it. The moment you start thinking, I have it, that is your downfall. He that thinketh he stands, let him watch, lest he falls. Lest you fall. So always humble yourself to God. Spirit of our living God, help me here. Spirit of our living God, help me here. Spirit of our living God, help me here. Holy Ghost, help me here. I can't do it without you. I need you, Jesus. I need you, Jesus. You can teach me. You can guide me. You can lead me. That is the lifestyle you need. It's all comfortable now. Enjoy the comfort. But remember, you need Jesus now. When they were comfortable, they rebelled and went back to their old ways. Nevertheless, in your great mercy, you did not utterly consume them nor forsake them, for you are God, gracious and merciful. As the cycle continues, the motion of each cycle gets deeper and deeper, but God does not change. We sometimes feel as if God has gotten tired of us, that we cannot ask him for forgiveness. For forgiveness, he has forgiven us for so many times before, but God never gets tired of us and never turns away the repentant heart. I've said this already. He's never tired of me and you. He's never tired. You can always repent. He loves you. Remember when we were having our communion yesterday? He needs you. Come back home. Come back home. God loves me and you. Whatever you are going through, come back home. Just run to him and kneel at his feet. Need him in your life. A plea to to God for intervention. A plea to God for intervention. This sermon that I'm preaching here has come to an end. But I want to look at the 38. These people pleaded with God for intervention. It says in the 38, and because of all this, we make a sure covenant and write it. Our leaders, our Levites, and our priests seal it. We make a sure covenant. Israel needed to come to this place where knowing who God is and knowing who they are, they came and make a covenant with God, even writing it down to commit themselves to his ways. Be serious to commit yourself to his ways. Commitment is a big issue these days with every child of God. It amazes me how someone can give you his word or her word and just decide to do something else. It amazes me. How can you just change your mind? Commitment. But these people said, you know what, Lord, we are willing to be committed to you. It's not just going to end here. Next week, you will see what they did. But I want to touch on a few things here. How to really start afresh with God. Alan Redpath gave a few guidelines in you making the right decisions in serving God. And I want to read it to you. What about my relationship with men? He breaks it down in two ways. You have a relationship with men. This is how you can consider it. Am I consciously or unconsciously creating the impression that I am a better man than I really am? Is there the least suspicion of hypocrisy in my life? Am I honest in all my words and acts? Do I exaggerate? Am I reliable? Can I be trusted? Do I confidently pass on what was said to me in confidence? Do I grumble and complain in the church? Am I jealous, impure, irritable, touchy, destructive? Am I self-confident, self-pitying, or self-justifying? Am I proud? Do I thank God I am not as other people? Is there anyone I fear or dislike or criticize or resent? If so, what am I doing about it? You see, what are you doing about this? A way for you to realize, you know what? I need to come before God clean. The other aspect is your devotion to God. Does the Bible live to me? When you read the Bible, do you see it real in your life? Do I give it time to speak to me? Do I go to bed in time and do I get up in time? Am I enjoying my prayer life today? Did I enjoy it this morning? When I am involved in a problem in life, do I talk about it with God? Am I disobedient or disobeying God in anything, or insisting upon doing something about which my consciously even hurt me before God? When did I last speak to someone else with the object of trying to win him for Christ? Am I a slave to books, dressing, friends, work, or what other things? How do I spend my spare times? These things help you to realize where your heart is. And the Lord Jesus says, wherever one's heart, one's eyes is, there his heart is. So be careful where your heart is. Pay attention to those things. By God's grace, we are finished.